大家好。
这是我唯一知道怎么讲的一句中国话。
I bring you greetings from Intercity Baptist Church in Allen Park, Michigan.
在此我代表底特律我参加的浸信会和底特律浸信会神学院向大家问好。
And also from Detroit Baptist Seminary where I teach.
我是在浸信会神学院教书的。
Of course, I understood very little of what just happened in the last half hour.
当然，刚才我们敬拜的时候，我没有办法知道说你们在做些什么。
But I'm confident that God understood and was very pleased.
那我相信神他会知道的，然后他是非常喜悦的。
It makes me look forward to the day when people from every tribe, tongue, and nation will be worshiping God together.
这让我想到说，将来有一天，在天上的时候，会有各国各民各方的人，在一起来一起敬拜。
In a few short months, the snow and cold will be over.
我们知道，在短短的几个月之内，现在的寒冷跟这个雪都会离开我们。
And we will come to one of those special Sundays that the church celebrates.
那我们很快的就会面临我们在教会要庆祝的一个特别的节日。
It was called Palm Sunday.
就叫棕榈的周日。
This is the day that Christ arrived in Jerusalem to the applause and cheers of all the people.
那在圣经里面告诉我们，这是记载到耶稣他进耶路撒冷，民众夹道鼓掌来欢迎他的那时刻。
They thought he was going to lead a rebellion against Rome.
他们那时候想的是耶稣可能要带他们来干革命，要推翻罗马帝国。
They thought he was going to set up his great kingdom.
他们一直在想说耶稣来是要设立一个新的国度。
And so they set out palm branches, which is a way of greeting kings in their day.
所以他们就在地上铺满了棕榈的树枝。在那个时候是一个通常用来欢迎君王的一个方式。
But something was dreadfully wrong.
但是有一件事情看来似乎不太对劲。
Jesus did not establish his kingdom.
耶稣并没有设立他们心中所想象的那个国度。
In fact, he announced through a parable that he was going to leave.
但是耶稣却告诉他们说他会离开他们。
And the excitement of the disciples turned to confusion as they saw Jesus begin to cry.
同时这些很兴奋的门徒大吃一惊，竟然看到耶稣为耶路撒冷在哭泣。
When they arrived in the city of Jerusalem, there was another larger crowd made up of the religious leaders of the Jewish people.
当他们进了这个耶路撒冷城的时候，发现有更多的一群人，当中有宗教的领袖。
These had all made up their mind to kill Jesus.
跟一些犹太人，他们已经决定要把耶稣杀了。
Jesus walks into town, briefly around him, and then he leaves.
耶稣进了这个城，然后就停留了短暂的一段时间，然后就离开了。
This morning, I'd like to look at the events of the next day.
今天早上我想跟大家一起来看，第二天发生的事情。
Was doing on Palm Sunday.
这些所发生的事情可以帮助我们理解耶稣在棕榈周日那天到底是在做什么。
The longest account of this day takes place in the book of Mark.
对那天的形容写的最详细的是在马可福音里面。
So if you turn with me to chapter 11 of Mark, we'll read verses 12 through 25 this morning.
对，如果大家跟我一起翻到马可福音11章12到25节里面，我们可以一起来看一下这一段经文里面所记载的。
So Paul, if you would just read those verses, Mark 11, 12 to 25.
我来读马可福音11章12到25节。如果大家有圣经的话，可不可以翻到那段圣经？这上面有哈。我想我们用起印的方式来大家一起读，好不好？从第十二节开始， OK， 那我读十二节，我们请大家读十三节，我们这样子啊，来把这段经文一起来读啊。十二节，第二天他们从伯大尼出来，耶稣饿了。耶稣就对树说，从今以后永没有人吃你的果子。他们的门徒也听见了。也不许人拿着器具从店里经过。祭司长和文士听见这话，就想法子要除灭耶稣，却又怕他，因为众人都稀奇他的教训。早晨他们从那里经过，看见无花果树连根都枯干了。耶稣回答说，你们当信服神。所以我告诉你们，凡你们祷告祈求的，无论是什么，只要信是得着的，就必得着。我们感谢主，愿主来祝福他的话语。
As we look at this passage, it's easy to see the structure of this story.
当我们看这段经文的时候，我们很容易的能够看到这个经文的结构。
It is a story of a fig tree.
这是一个关于无花果树的这个故事。
And in the middle of the story, we find the whole reason for the story.
在这个无花果树的当中，这个故事当中，我们可以找到这个故事的原因。
This is wrapped up in Jesus cleansing the temple grounds.
这个跟圣殿里耶稣在圣殿里面要洁净这个圣殿是很有关联的。
Now, it may seem silly to look at the structure of this passage.
有人可能认为特别注意这个结构没有什么特别的必要。
But the two stories are tied together.
但是当我们把这两件事情结合在一起看的时候，
Mark is not a poor writer. He has tied these two stories together for a reason.
我们就可以得到关于这个段经文要给我们的一些启发。那马可不是一个不会写文章的人，他把这两件事情放在一起是有他原因的。
This is a very important lesson for us as we read through the stories of the Bible.
当我们读圣经里面这个故事的时候，这是一个很重要的功课。
Usually there are clues at the beginning or the end of each story about why the story is here.
通常在故事的开始之前或者结尾的时候，他会给我们对这个故事背景的这个原因。
We can't simply apply these stories any way we'd like.
我们不能把这些故事随意的照我们自己的想法来应用。
In this story, the meaning comes right in the middle. We can't miss it.
这个故事里的意义是在这件事发生最中间的这一段，我们不可能看不见。
And the story of the fig tree tells us what Jesus was doing when he cleansed the temple.
关于这段故事，很确切地告诉我们，当耶稣清洁圣殿的时候，他到底是在做什么。
So let's look at this story.
现在就让我们来看看这一段故事。
The cursing of the fig tree is a unique miracle in the Gospels.
咒诅无花树的这个故事，在四福音书里面，只有在马可福音中有记载。
It is the only destructive miracle that Jesus ever performed.
这是耶稣所行的唯一有破坏性的神迹。
All the rest of Jesus' miracles were positive.
其他所有耶稣所行的神迹都是正面的。
He healed the sick, restored sight and hearing, he resolved crises, and even brought the dead back to life.
他医治有病的人，让聋子能听见，让人脱离险境，甚至让死人能够复活。
But this story is different.
但是这个故事是完全不一样的。
He destroys what seems to be a perfectly healthy tree.
他让一棵健康的树，枯萎掉。
And it brings questions to our minds.
在我们脑海里面马上就出了一个问题。
Could Jesus have lost his temper?
是不是耶稣在发脾气？
How does this destructive miracle fit with God's message of salvation, love, reconciliation with God and healing?
这个有破坏性的神迹跟救恩的信息，神的爱跟恢复与神和好，甚至病得医治，到底有什么关系？
Well, I think the answer to these questions is found in this passage.
我想我们要找答案的话，我们在这一段经文是可以找得到的。
The story begins with Jesus and his disciples walking to Jerusalem.
这个故事的开始是耶稣跟他的门徒走向耶路撒冷。
In this day, people rarely ate breakfast before they started working.
在那个时代，一般人很少一早起来就吃一顿早餐的。
Instead, they tended to do some work, and then they would break their fast for the morning.
他们会在做工一段时间之后才结束他们的进食。
So Jesus was undoubtedly becoming hungry as he walked toward Jerusalem.
所以耶稣走了一段路之后，应该是一定肚子有点饿。
And he spotted a fig tree in the distance and walked toward it.
他看到远处的一棵无花果树，就走进去。
He began looking for fruit among the leaves.
他在那边要找到底树上有没有果子。
Now, early figs tend to hide under the leaves of a fig tree.
早熟的果子会被藏在叶子的底下。
He wouldn't have been able to see fruit from a distance.
所以他不可能从远处看到底这棵树有没有果子。
But when he lifted the leaves, there was no fruit.
但是当他到了树的前面，把叶子拨开之后，他才看到没有果子。
And so he makes a rather unusual statement here.
所以他在这里讲了一个很不寻常的一句话。
It was not the season for figs.
因为不是收无花果子的时候。
So why was Jesus looking for figs on a tree in March?
所以为什么耶稣会在三月天里在树上找果子呢？
And why was he discouraged when he didn't find any?
那为什么他在找不到果子的时候，看来似乎很沮丧？
There's a number of reasons that have been offered in the commentaries on this passage.
圣经的评论家有好几种不同的说法。
Probably the answer is that it was not the time of year for ripe fig tree figs.
但是我认为最能让我信服的说法是那个时候还不是叶子成熟的季节。
It is interesting that figs begin growing.In the winter,
真正的这个无花果，它的长成的时候是在冬天。
Even before the leaves come, the branches begin to swell with fruit.
其实，在叶子还没有出来的时候，这果子已经在树上已经成长了。
Now these what are called early figs, were exceptionally juicy.
那这些果子是所谓的出熟的果子，所以是。很有汁，很多汁的。
They didn't have the fine taste of the later figs, but you could eat them.
他们的味道可能没有完全成熟的那种果子那么好，但是呢，一般人会很喜欢，还是很喜欢吃的。
In fact, these early figs were the very first fruit for the new year.
其实这些果子是代表新的一年的年初的那些出熟的果子。
People really started to look forward to them.
人们会很期盼要能够吃到这样出熟的果子。
Of course, we live in a time where you can get fruit pretty much any time of the year.
现在我们活着的时代，我们几乎是任何时候都可以吃到我们任何想要吃的水果。
So it's a little bit harder for us to relate with these people.
所以我们很难想象我们当初在第一世纪时代的人，他们是怎么样过的。
But even today, we look for the first fresh local fruit of the new year.
但是即使我们今天，我们还是会在超市里面去找那个季节刚开始所卖的新鲜的水果。
For many long months, we have fruit imported from Brazil or the great shipping centers such as Shanghai.
有很多时候我们会买到从国外所进口的，像巴西或者上海那边所运过来的水果。
But we'd rather eat the stuff that was just picked yesterday.
但是我们还是比较喜欢是昨天才从树上摘下来的水果。
And for the first century Jew, the anticipation was even greater.
所以在第一世纪的犹太人，他们更是如此。
They had no refrigerators.
他们没有冰箱。
They could not ship food quickly from place to place.
很难说把一个水果从一个城市运到另外一个城市。
So for months, they had no fruit at all.
所以在一年里面好几个月，他们几乎是根本没有水果可吃。
So when those early figs started showing up, everyone was eager for the first fresh fruit of the new year.
所以一到出熟的这个水果开始上市的时候，每一个人都会很渴望吃到新年的第一批的上市的新鲜水果。
But Jesus didn't find any of this early fruit.
但是很不幸的，耶稣没有看到任何成长的叶子。
The tree looked good from a distance.
树从远处看似乎是一棵很好看的树。
It had leaves, so it should have had fruit.
它上面有叶子，所以应该是有果子的。
But the tree was defective.
但是这个树是有问题的。
And so Jesus cursed it.
所以耶稣就咒诅这棵树。
Now, at this point, the disciples might have gotten a hint about what Jesus was doing.
在这个时候，门徒应该从耶稣所做的这件事情上得到一些线索。
The scriptures use the metaphor of a fig tree on three occasions.
在圣经里面有三次曾经用无花果树上没有果子的这个比喻。
Specifically, this is a metaphor of fig trees that lack early fruit.
这三个的比喻都提到说这个无花果树上没有果子的。
In all three of these occasions in the Old Testament, it is the nation of Israel that is compared to the fig tree.
在这三个比喻里面，它比喻都是指的以色列这个国家。
Let me point you to these three passages.
那我们来一起看看这一段经文里面这几段经文里面。
The first of these is Micah 7.
第一段经文是在弥迦书第一章第七章。
In verses 1 through 4, we find that God has just accused the nation of Israel of being disobedient.
在弥迦书第七章第一到第四节里面神因为以色列国的悖逆才刚刚指控他们。
He has just sentenced the people of Israel to be plundered and taken into exile.
他又使他们被掳掠流亡被掠夺来处罚他们。
And Micah describes what he sees around him.
那弥迦就是来形容他所看到在他身旁所发生的这些事情。
He says, Woe is me.
他说哀哉。
Because I have become as when the summer fruit has been gathered and the grapes have been gleaned.
我好像夏天的果子已经收尽，又像摘了葡萄所剩下的。
He says, there is no cluster to eat, no first ripe figs that my soul desires.
没有一挂可吃的，我心羡慕初熟的无花果。
And then he explains what he means by that.
然后他来解释他解这段经文的意思是什么？
The godly have perished from the land.
地上虔诚的人已经被灭尽。
There is no one upright among mankind.
世上没有正直的人。
So he is looking at the nation of Israel and he makes this comparison.
所以他在看以色列这个国，然后来做这个比较。
He says, Israel is like a fig tree without any early figs.
他形容以色列国就像一棵无花果树上不结果子的树。
And what does he mean by this?
那到底他指的是什么？
Well, he tells us. He means that they are like a fig tree without fruit, and that is like God's chosen nation without godly people.
这个经节就告诉我们，不长无花果的树就像是神的选民中没有圣洁的子民一样。
Hosea chapter 9 verse 10 is a second similar passage.
何西阿书九章第十节这里有相似的一段经文。
Here Hosea is telling, walking through Israel's history.
在这里何西阿在带以色列们以色列们子民来回顾他们以前的历史。
And he makes another comparison.
那请再注意他在这里所做的另外一个比较。
He says, like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel.
他说像在旷野的葡萄树找到以色列。
Like the first fresh fruit of the fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers.
就像在初熟的无花果树在春季初熟的果子我看到你们的列祖。
But then he says something happened.
但是他告诉他们什么事情发生了。
They came to the place of Baal Peor.
但是他们却来到巴利庇尔。
And they consecrated themselves to a thing of shame and became detestable like the thing they loved.
专拜那可羞耻的就成为可憎恶的与他们所爱的一样。
So Israel was at first like a fig tree with fine, fresh, early figs.
所以神把初期的以色列国形容为在旷野出熟的无花果。
Okay. But things fell apart.
但是从 那时候开始他们就堕落了。
Now, Hosea doesn't finish the metaphor here.
但是这里何西阿没有写完这个比较。
But the point is clear.
但是他想说的应该是很清楚的。
When Israel was godly, they were like fruitful fig trees.
当以色列人是敬虔的，他们就像是出熟的无花果。
But when they became ungodly, they became like unfruitful fig trees.
但是当他们变为不敬虔的时候他们就变成不长果子的无花果树
了。第三个
比较在旧约里面。
This is found in Jeremiah 24.
是在耶利米书二十四章里面。
This is really the entire chapter, so we will not read it in its entirety.
这里是整章但是今天我们不会把整章把它拿出来念。
But we find that the chapter begins with two baskets of early figs.
这里它形容有两筐出熟的无花果。
The first basket is filled with good figs.
在第一个筐里面放满了好的无花果。
And verses 5 through 7 of this chapter explains that these good figs were the holy people of God.
在第五到第七节里面它形容这些无花果好的无花果就是神圣洁的子民。
These were the people who had been protected while in exile in Babylon.
他们是被放逐到巴比伦但是是被神所保护的。
They are described here as the ones that God has given a heart to know. They were believers.
这里是他形容是神赐给他们认识神自己的心他们是信徒的。
But there was also a second basket of bad figs.
但是有另外一筐是坏的果子。
They're described here as worthless for eating.
他说这些坏的果子是不能吃的。
And so what did these figs represent?
到底这些坏的无花果是代表什么呢?
Well, Jeremiah tells us this too.
耶利米在这里也告诉我们。
In verses 8 through 10, he says that these worthless figs were to be compared with the wicked Jews.
他在8到第10节里面告诉我们说这些无用的果子是那些坏的犹太人他们留在耶路撒冷的。
These wicked Jews had remained in the land and had sinned grievously against God.
这些恶的犹太人他们是留在耶路撒冷他们是犯了罪的。
And because they were worthless, God promised to destroy them.
因为他们是完全无用神应许他们会被毁灭。
Now, I don't think that it is a coincidence that this metaphor is used three times in the Old Testament.
我想在这里他三次在旧约里面用同样的比喻绝对不是偶然的。
When fig trees and early fruit are used metaphorically in the Old Testament, they always have reference to the nation of Israel.
在这里通常旧约里面当然一讲到无花果这个果子的时候它全部是指向以色列国的。
Good early fruit was reflective of godly people in the midst of Israel.
好的无花果是代表在以色列国里神敬虔的子民。
The absence of healthy fruit on the fig tree represented the absence of godly people in the nation of Israel.
在无花果树上不长好果子的代表在以色列国里缺乏有敬虔的子民。
Now don't get me wrong here.
千万不要误会我的意思。
It's not as though figs are always used figuratively in the Old Testament.
不要以为在无花果在圣经里面用到的时候，一定是指以色列的一个记号。
Sometimes they are simply the figs that people would eat.
有的时候在圣经里面记载的时候是很明显的，它只是讲到这个无花果是可以吃的无花果而已。
But on three occasions in the Old Testament, early figs are compared to the nation of Israel.
但是在旧约里面这几段经文很明显的告诉我们，当他们讲到无花果的时候，是指以色列国。
Trees with good edible fruit means godly Israel.
树上长了出熟可吃的果子，是被比为信实的以色列国。
Trees without fruit.Are ungodly Israel that is promised to be destroyed.
没有可吃的出熟的果子就被比为是不敬虔的以色列人。
Now, if the disciples listening to Jesus were aware of their Old Testament, they were no doubt very troubled.
如果耶稣的门徒熟悉旧约的这几段话的话，他们一定会为耶稣诅咒这个树这件事情会感到忧虑。
I think that's the point of verse 14. His disciples heard him.
我想为什么在这里马可福音第十一章十四节里面所说的，他说门徒也听见了。
Jesus had just cursed a fig tree.
耶稣才刚刚咒诅了这棵树。
And this was perhaps an indication that he was about to destroy Israel.
那这个可能表示他即将很严厉的审判这个悖逆的世代。
If Jesus had the power to curse a fig tree, then he had the power to destroy the nation of Israel.
如果他有能力诅咒这棵无花树的话，那他一样有能力来诅咒这个以色列国。
And this is exactly what was happening.
其实这个就是当时所发生的事情。
God was turning his back on the nation of Israel.
神要背对着以色列人。
Now this was not going to be a permanent decision.
但是这不是永远的。
We find, for instance, in Romans chapter 11 that God will again return His attention to Israel.
在罗马书十一章里面告诉我们说，有一天神要让以色列人回转。
But the expectation of the kingdom that these people had was going to be taken away from them and given to another generation.
但是当时的犹太人他们这个国家神是要把他们交给外邦人来统治的。
So Jesus is not only the Messiah, but also the judge of the earth.
所以耶稣不只是一个来世上救人的弥赛亚，而且他是在神圣洁的愤怒中要施行审判的。
So it's with this troubling background that Jesus enters into Jerusalem.
所以大家如果知道这个背景的话，我们就看到说他现在正好要进耶路撒冷。
He walks into this huge court of the Gentiles and enters a scene of mayhem.
那他进入这个圣殿的时候，我们知道圣殿最外围那一圈是给外邦人的。
It's hard to explain this without actually seeing it.
那如果你没有去过圣地的话，你可能很难想象到说到底这个情景是怎么样。
God gave me the privilege of being able to visit this place a few years ago.
神给我一个机会几年前曾经去以色列，能够看到这个圣殿外面的这一圈这个外邦人可以去的地方的这个情景。
It is a large raised stone platform.
它是有一个建这个圣殿的时候，它这个外围是。提升上来的。
It goes about 40 feet above the level of the city here.
它跟街道之间的这个高度差别有40尺。
It extends for acres.
它有好几亩的地。
And this area is able to be filled with hundreds of thousands and even a million people.
这个地方可以容纳大约几十万人，甚至到一百万人。
In fact, just a few years ago,A group of over a million Muslims filled this very temple platform.
几年前，有一百多万的回教徒挤到这个外院。
They actually had to be evacuated because they thought it perhaps might collapse.
因为他们怕这个古老院子的结构的稳定会出问题，就需要疏散他们这一些人。
But 2,000 years later, a million people stood on this very temple mount.
但是2000年之后，有 100万人就站在这个地方。
And when Jesus walks in here, he finds it's a great marketplace.
当耶稣到了这个地方的时候, 他发现说这个地方是一个做生意的地方。
Hundreds of merchants and customers were bickering and haggling over the price of livestock.
在这里有很多卖牲畜要越换银钱的人，跟走动的人群，他们都在这边要想做一些生意。
And if you're familiar with these people, they can be very dramatic as they bicker over prices.
所以你可以想象，就是说当这些人他们在做买卖的时候，他们会在那边讨价还价。People
were also exchanging money.
他们在那边也要越换银钱。
Undoubtedly, they were arguing and complaining about the exchange rate.
那他们可能就在那边争吵，说到底这个越换银钱要多少钱换多少银钱。
And Jesus is filled with righteous indignation.
所以耶稣在这里充满了正义的愤怒。
This was supposed to be his moment as the king.
这时候应该是他展现他是君王的风范的时候。
Malachi 3:1 had predicted that Jesus would suddenly appear in the temple.
马拉基书3:1告诉我们说，耶稣会突然的在圣殿里面出现。
And he arrived.
现在他到了。But
no one noticed.
但是没有人注意到。And
in fact, if we take a look at what Luke says, he records it a very interesting way.
在这里我们看一下路加在这边所记载的，他这记载确实是很有意思的。In
Luke 19:41-44, he describes this scene.
那在路加福音19:41-44节里面。 来形容当时的情景。
It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it.
这里说，当他看到这个耶路撒冷的时候，他开始为这个城来哭泣。
He said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace.
巴不得你在这日子知道关心你平安的事。
But now it is hidden from your eyes.
无奈这事现在是隐藏的。
The days will come upon you when your enemies will build embankments against you and circle you and hem you in on every side.
叫你眼睛看不出来，因为日子将到，你的仇敌必筑起。
They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls.
周围环绕你，四面困住你，并要扫灭你和你里头的儿女。
They will not leave one stone on another.
连一块石头也不留在石头上。
Because you did not recognize the time of God's visiting you.
因为你不知眷顾你的时候。
The great Messiah had arrived at the temple.
耶稣这位伟大的弥赛亚已经在他自己的圣殿里面出现了。
But no one had noticed.
竟然没有人认出他来。
No one cared.
没有人关心。
No one repented in faith and turned to embrace Jesus Christ.
没有人靠信心来悔改。
Instead, what did Jesus see?
反而耶稣所看见的是什么?
He saw a fig tree full of leaves, but without any fruit.
他看到一棵无花果树，长满了叶子，但是没有果子。
The godly were absent from among them.
在他们中间没有敬虔的人。
Oh yes, they were going through the motions of the Jewish faith.
有一大群的犹太人只是在做信心的动作而已。
But they didn't even recognize God when he stepped into the temple.
但是他们却是瞎眼的，认不出神正走进这里殿里。
Okay. And so Jesus, instead of being recognized as Messiah, begins to overturn the tables of the money changers.
当耶稣开始彰显他弥赛亚的特权，或可说他的王权的时候，他将越换银钱的桌子推翻。
And the leaders of the Jews try to figure out a way to kill Jesus.
犹太人领袖的反应竟然是要找一个方法来把他杀了。Now
why is it that Jesus attacked these sellers of livestock?
为什么耶稣选择来攻击这些卖牲畜的和换越换银钱的人呢?
Well, let me note first of all that their existence was not a problem.
第一个，让我们来注意一下，这些人在场并不是问题的症结。This
is one of the great feasts of the Jews.
季节是一个虔诚的犹太人，会来庆祝的。
Every faithful Jewish man coming to Jerusalem for one of these feasts had to bring a perfect lamb.
每一个虔诚的犹太人，他们要来庆祝这个节期的时候，都需要带这个牲畜。
Many of these men were traveling hundreds of miles.
这些人走了大概几百里路的路程才会到耶路撒冷。
It simply wasn't possible to transport a perfect lamb hundreds of miles and it still be perfect when they got there.
基本上不太可能，当你带一只这个动物走了几百里之后，这个动物还是完全没有瑕疵的。
So they needed to buy sheep when they arrived.
所以他们需要在当地的地方要买一只完全的这个动物来献祭的。
They were also required to bring a shekel for the temple tax.
他们需要带一两银钱来为了要付圣殿的税。
Of course, this is a very local currency, and most people did not use it.
他们当时住的时候，他们只有当地的这个钱币，但是没有圣经里面所记载的那个银钱。
So money changers were necessary at this place.
所以要有月换银钱的人在场。
So what was the problem?
所以到底问题是什么？
Well, it was the desecration of the temple.
其实真正的问题是他们在亵渎圣殿。
Selling animals and exchanging money is a proper thing to do.
卖牲畜或者月换银钱本身不是一个问题。
But it should not be, have been done here in the temple.
但是不应该在圣殿里面，应该在圣殿外面。
This place, this great temple mount, was also known as the court of the Gentiles.
这个圣殿外面的这个外围这个院子也是称为外邦人的这个地方。
This is the place where people who were not Jews could come and pray.
这是让外邦人能够来跟犹太人一起来做祷告的地方。
In fact, if we had been there in that day and we had come, wanted to worship, we would have had to worship there.
那如果我们是活在那个时代的话，我们如果要去圣殿要敬拜神的话，我们就是进那个外院的地方来跟神祷告。
And so in verse 15, Jesus gives a commentary on what he's doing.
所以在第十七节里面，耶稣告诉我们到底这是怎么回事。
My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations.
我的殿必称为万国祷告的殿吗？
It was a place to meet God.
这是一个很重要的地方，让人们可以来跟神见面的地方。
It wasn't happening there.
但是并没有这样子发生。
That in and of itself tells us that the Jews weren't doing their job.
这告诉我们很清楚的，就是犹太人当时没有做他们照摩西所颁扬律法所当做的。
But they had become so accustomed to no one being there praying that they had moved the merchant, the market into the temple.
他们已经习惯了在这个外院的地方没有人在那边祷告。所以他们基本上就把原来在殿外所做的事情已经搬到殿里面去了。
So how do we apply this passage?
那所以我们现在问这个问题，我们今天怎么样来应用这段经节？
Well, some would say, okay, perhaps we should not sell things at church.
有人可能会说，哦，那这样的话，我们就不可以在教会里面卖任何的东西。
But we must recognize that the church and the temple are not the same thing.
但是我们需要注意到的是，教会跟圣殿是不一样的。
The temple was a special, one-of-a-kind building, the only place in the world where people could go to meet God.
圣殿是一个很特别的，而且是世界上唯一的一个地方，人可以去朝见神的地方。
The church building is something that people invented a few hundred years after this event so that they could meet each other to worship God.
教会则是早期基督徒用的一个方便聚会、互相建造、互相鼓励的一个建筑物。
We come together to build each other up and encourage one another.
我们基督徒会想到这个地方来，我们可以互相来鼓励、来互相来建造的一个地方。
And if that involves exchanging helpful literature or music, It's a good place to do that.
如果这是基督徒可以在这个地方 能够互相交换、基督教的文学或者是互相建立、这个基督教的音乐，那这是一个其实是一个很好的场所。
But what is the parallel of the Old Testament temple that we have today?
那所以我们今天有哪一个比较现代的、可以跟这个圣殿做个对比的话？
Well, twice in the Corinthian epistles, Paul tells us that you are the temple of the living God.
如果你看哥林多、前书里面、保罗所记载的，保罗说你们就是神的圣殿。
So if you are the temple of the living God, what does this passage say to you?
那如果你就是神的圣殿的话，那这段经文会对你说什么？
Well, it says that your personal worship of God cannot be crowded out by other interests.
这里可能要对我们说，是我们个人对神的敬拜不能被其他我们个人的兴趣给挤掉。
Interests include such things as hobbies, leisure, amusement, your work, or even your family.
不管我们的兴趣是包括自己的嗜好或休闲的活动或娱乐节目，你的工作或者是你自己的家庭都不能取代。
Now, am I saying that any of these things are wrong?
我的意思是不是说这些东西都是错的呢？
Oh, no, not at all.
不，绝对不是。
Just as it was necessary and good for people to sell merchandise and exchange money in Jesus' day.
就像当初他们需要、去买牲畜跟去兑换银钱一样。
But if these exist to the exclusion of true worship, then you start to resemble the people, the temple of this day.
但是如果这些东西的存在影响到我们真正的我们的敬拜，那我们就会碰到一个危机。
It was unbelievably beautiful with pleasant leaves.
无花果树上有叶子的时候看起来很好看。
But there was no fruit.
但是至终是不结果子的。
And if there is no fruit at all, perhaps there is no true godliness or life at all.
如果没有果子的话，那可能就告诉我们说，我们不一定是有生命的。
This is a very sobering thought for us.
这是一个要让我们警醒的一个事情。
Leaves are an important part of everyday life.
任何有生命的树一定都会有叶子。
Everyone must earn money, buy things, sell things, etc.
每个人都需要做买卖或者需要去赚钱。
But this should not be the dominant feature of our lives.
但是这些不能是你唯一的或是完全来支配你生活的方式。
We should all strive not to be known as people of wealth or intelligence or leisure, but people of worship and prayer.
我们应该尽力使我们自己成为敬拜和祷告的人，而不只是被认为是有钱的人、聪明的人或有休闲活动、很知道怎么休闲活动的人。
Because as Mark so aptly reminds us, that's what temples are for.
因为马可很合意地告诉我们，这就是圣殿存在的原因。
Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 reads this way.
在耶利米书九章二三到二四节里面如此说。
Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom.
耶和华如此说，智慧人不要因他的智慧夸口。
Let not the mighty man boast in his strength.
勇士不要因他的勇力夸口。
Let not a rich man boast in his riches.
财主不要因他的财物夸口。
But let him who boasts, boast of this.
夸口的却因他有。
That he understands and knows me.
聪明、认识我是耶和华。
That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice and righteousness on the earth.
又知道我喜悦在世上施行慈爱、公平和公义。
For it is these things in which I delight, declares the Lord.
如此夸口，这是耶和华说的。
Now, the story ends here now with a return to the fig tree.
那故事在这边结束之前，把我们再带回马可福音里面所讲到这个无花果树这件事情。
The disciples are leaving the city, no doubt troubled by what they had just seen.
这些门徒们、他们离开耶路撒冷的时候，显然的是有一些事情让他们非常、警惕的事情。
And Peter looks up and sees a withered fig tree.
彼得抬起头来一看，发现那棵无花果树已经枯干了。
Look, he said, that fig tree that you cursed, it has been destroyed.
他说你看，这个树怎么这么快就被毁灭了呢？
That must have been a very unnerving thing for them.
对他们来讲，这一件事情会让他们震惊。
For years, they had been traveling with Jesus the Messiah.
许多年他们跟随耶稣，跟随了这么久。
Watching with marvel as they saw the sick healed, the blind see, the dead raised to life.
他们看到许多病人得医治，瞎眼能看见，使人能复活，这个使他们不寒而栗。
Jesus had proved himself to be the Messiah.
确实，耶稣有经过许多证据来证明他是那位所应许的弥赛亚。
But now they were seeing a new and chilling side to Christ's ministry.
但是现在他们所看到的是一个新的，让他们不寒而栗的一个事工。
They had seen the limits of God's patience.
他们看到神耐心的极限。
They had seen the holy wrath of God unleashed with power against this tree.
他们看见，亲眼看见了神圣洁的愤怒，借着他的大能释放出来。
And they knew that the destruction was not limited to the tree.
他们同时也会知道，不只是这一棵树会感到神的咒诅。
So what is this difficult message that God is trying to communicate with this fig tree?
所以到底神要借着这棵无花果树的例子来告诉我们一个很困难的一个功课呢？
Well, it's quite simply this.
很简单的。
God's patience with sinners will someday be exhausted suddenly.
神对罪人的忍耐有一天会达到他的极限。
Furthermore, this message is not for pagans, blasphemers, and heretics.
我们也需要注意，这个信息不是只给不信主的人、亵渎神的人或是异端。
It was for the greatest religious leaders of the day.
而是给当时最伟大的宗教领袖。
It is perhaps a message for people here in this room.
或许今天是要给我们在场的所有的弟兄姐妹们。
And if all there is to this story ends right here, it is a very depressing story.
如果这些故事的这段是这个关于这个故事的全部的话，那可能确实是一个很让人沮丧的。
But Jesus ends with a great alternative to this terrible destruction.That had been seen in this fig tree.
但是信息没有停止在这里，他给我们有另外一个可以选择的。
Verses 22 through 25 detail what it means to have true faith.
在22-25里面告诉我们说，到底何谓真正的信心。
We don't have the time to look at them in great detail, but the point is clear.
今天早上我们没有时间能详细的来看这几节经文，但是它的重点是很容易看得很清楚的。
This curse extends only to people who persist in their lack of faith.
神的咒诅只会落在那些继续不断对神没有信心的那些人。
That is to those who only have leaves but bear no fruit.
那些坚持只愿意有叶子但是没有果子的人。
Now all of you who are sitting out here today, I know have leaves.
我相信各位今天坐在这里就表示说你们是有长叶子的。
The fact that you are here tells me that.
因为你在这里所以就告诉我说一定你们生命里面是有叶子的。
But like the fig tree of that day, fruit is not quite so easily seen.
但是从这个故事里面我们来看有叶子不难有果子没那么容易。
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy,Peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control.
圣灵的果子是仁爱、喜乐、和平、忍耐、恩慈、良善、信实、温柔、节制。
But specifically in this context, I think the fruit that Jesus is looking for is genuine worship.
所以我想在这里，耶稣真正所要看到的果子是我们真心的敬拜。
Not just going through the motions of prayer.
而不只是外表的动作而已
but actually offering up heartfelt prayers,
而是真心的祷告
worshiping together the true and living God,
一起在神面前来学习敬拜他。
Paying careful attention to the word of God and then living it out throughout the week.
小心谨慎的，天天要活出神的话来。
A lot of this fruit is invisible.
这些果子，大部分时间外表上不一定看得见。
Only you and God know whether it's really there.
只有你跟神之间，你们会知道到底有没有这个果子。
But the question is, are you as a temple of the living God, a place of worship and prayer?
但是我要问各位的问题，就是说到底我们是不是在神的圣殿来真正的在敬拜他。
And like Peter and Paul do elsewhere, Jesus is saying, examine yourself to see whether you have faith.
所以就像彼得跟保罗一样，圣经里面提醒我们说，我们要审查自己，看我们有信心没有。
To ask yourself whether you simply have leaves or whether there is true fruit present.
要问问我们自己，我们是不是外表上有长叶子而已，但是没有真正的敬拜和祷告的果子。
So as we come to the end of this story, we recognize we have this uncomfortable understanding that the triumphal entry was not everything that it should have been.
所以当我们今天结尾的时候，让我们来认识到，当耶稣胜利的进入耶路撒冷的时候，看来不像是我们认为是应当发生的情况。
Jesus shows that he is not merely a benevolent Messiah.
耶稣表明他不只是一位良善的弥赛亚。
He is also the warrior king whose patience will eventually run out.
他也是一位勇士跟君王，他的耐心有一天会达到极限。
And it's not a message for the visibly wicked people of this world.
这个信息不是给那些在世上的恶者。
It's for those of us who have been outwardly transformed.
而是给那些在外表上看来好似乎被改变的信徒。
For those of us who come through the doors of this building each week.
是给我们每个礼拜天我们走进这个教会的门的信徒。
It is for those of us who have leaves.
就是我们这些信徒外表上有叶子的。
But have perhaps failed to look to see if there is fruit of true faith.
但是并没有真正的仔细的来审查自己到底我们有没有果子。
And we do well to regularly inspect ourselves to ascertain that we truly have faith in God.
所以我们应当经常学习来审查自己，确定我们在主里是不是真的有真信心。
Let's pray.
我们来一起祷告。
Lord, we are grateful not only for the pleasant things that we find in the Bible, but also for these warnings.
我们感谢主，在圣经里面我们经常会读到神给我们祝福的事情，但是我们也感谢主，在圣经里面有一些给我要警告我们的事情。
And I ask that each person here would examine himself to discover whether he's truly in the faith.
我们求主今天早上就来帮助每一位在这个聚会的。来审查自己到底我们是不是有我们的信心。
And I ask that you would be pleased to see in this group a group of people who not only have leaves, but also the fruit of faith.
我们求主让我们在座的每一位不只是有叶子而已，也会有果子。
And in that way, you would be pleased with both what you see and you hear from this group of people.This morning.
所以当你听我们的祷告的时候，你会觉得很欣慰。
We ask this in your name, amen.
我们这样祷告，奉耶稣名求，阿门。
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Snowberger, for your excellent sermon, and Paul for your